each menstrual cycle. I explore the implications of seasonal patterns in conception and birth, especially regarding the conflict between our biological clocks and the modern age of electric light. Chapters 3 and 4 take us from mating to conception. What is natural in human mating? Monogamy, harems, or promiscuity? Are our reproductive systems adapted for competition between sperms from different men? Turning to pregnancy and birth, I look at possible evolutionary reasons for the dreaded morning sickness. Did nausea and vomiting evolve to protect the fetus against perils of the mother's diet? I also explore the mystery of why human birth is uniquely challenging, making help for midwives almost indispensable. We move on to development in Chapter 5, which focuses on the vital topic of the human brain and how its uniquely large size has been a driver for many adaptations in the way we reproduce and care for our young. Why are human babies born in comparatively immature state, requiring intensive caregiving? Chapter 6 is a natural history of suckling, in which I suggest that breastfeeding, while certainly not an option in all households today, provides benefits for both baby and mother that proponents of bottle feeding have yet to match successfully. Chapter 7 opens up to a broader discussion of childcare, including a discussion of infant carriage, an 80-million-year-old primate adaptation that laid the foundation for suckling on demand and mother-infant bonding. In Chapter 8, I close with a discussion of how we apply scientific understanding of our reproduction to constrain it through contraception or promote it through assisted reproduction. Whenever I give a public lecture on human evolution, during question time, somebody in the audience is likely to ask me what I can say about the future. Evolutionary biology is a largely historical science, and we cannot reliably predict how evolution will proceed. But many medical interventions have reduced or even arrested the action of natural selection. Genetic predispositions that would have been purged by negative selection in the past now slip through the net. For instance, we deliberately bypass natural selection when we combat infertility with assisted reproduction. Individuals with a genetic predisposition for infertility may pass this on to offspring that would not have been born naturally. Fertilizing an egg with a single sperm in the laboratory, for instance, circumvents natural filtering mechanisms. Indeed, reproductive technology has developed to the point where most complications can be overcome, whether it's infertility, premature birth, or otherwise compromised deliveries. And while we seemingly have found ways to solve many reproductive challenges, to the relief and joy of parents everywhere, delight has overshadowed basic questions about long-term consequences. This book has roots descending deep into the past and took more than 50 years to germinate from its initial seed. But the core subject of evolution has far, far deeper roots, stretching back more than 3 billion years to the beginnings of life on Earth. So perhaps I have some excuse for taking so long. At any rate, I present here what I hope is a comprehensive examination of the subject, from sex cells to weaning. It is a full reconstruction of our evolutionary past, aimed at providing a better basis for understanding our present and future. My goal is not to convince you that we have firm answers to any of the questions I have raised, but rather to make you aware of how far we have come in understanding the natural background to human reproduction in the 150 years since the science of evolution and the exploration of human origins was launched. One of the key lessons that I have learned from studying the natural world is enormous respect for complex systems that have evolved over millions or even billions of years. With this book, I would like to share that powerful feeling with fellow parents everywhere, past, present, and future. Chapter 1. Sperms and Eggs. Where do babies come from? Many parents sidestep a truthful answer to this innocent childhood question, instead mumbling about storks or gooseberry bushes. But until only 300 years ago, any answer would have been a fairy tale. In antiquity, pregnancy was thought to result from mixing semen with menstrual blood.